The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today's message is the essence of my message regarding the commandments. An overview of the program. There's a lot of confusion regarding sin and the commandments, including a lot of debate in the USA at present, which is relevant to this discussion. We discuss the correct interpretation of each of the commandments. We note that sin is breaking one of the commandments and ultimately carries a death penalty if not repented of. It is stressed that the price for unrepented sin is torment in hell. We discuss the reality that abortion is murder in a particularly violent form. We look at the sin of those who legislate violation of the commandments. We look at legislating against the death penalty for murder. We look at the penalty for taking the covenant meal while actively violating a covenant, and we note that this applies also to a person who administers the covenant meal to a person they know is in unrepented sin. We look at the mark of the beast, and finally we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Relationship with Creator Radio being one word. Click on the top menu, the show, and on the drop down podcasts for previous broadcasts, where you can search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote, and you'll find the 3 or 4 podcast libraries that have all the back issues of these broadcasts. So my message today, 2021-0605, the essence of my message regarding the commandments. There's a lot of confusion regarding sin and the commandments, including a lot of debate in the USA at present, which is relevant to this discussion. The commandments are discussed in some detail on the website, but I want to summarize them now and highlight some little understood ramifications associated with breaking them, including the essential definition of sin. It is important to understand that the satanic and demonic realm have corrupted things to such an extent that most believers are breaking most of the commandments. It is also important to recognize that in the extreme case, breaking any one of the commandments carries a death penalty. Torment in hell, if unrepented, is axiomatic for every believer who at some level believes in the reality of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. So part one of this broadcast, the correct interpretation of the commandments. We'll look at each one of them in turn. So the great commandment, effectively commandment zero, there are 10, and then the great commandment. Love Yah with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. The great commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you are not doing this, you're not really on the playing field. Note that if you do not believe the Almighty Creator Yah exists, then you're an unbeliever and nothing in this article applies to you. You're a servant of Satan, and the agenda of Satan is to break all of the commandments. As an unbeliever, you will not be judged, you will not face hell, you will simply die and your spirit will continue to exist alongside your corpse, which frankly is a horrible way to spend eternity. This is discussed in more detail elsewhere on the website. See the webpage Where Are You Going? And the webpage Essence of Message, Recritical End of Life Scenarios. The Ten Commandments given on the mountain in Sinai are the essence of loving Yah and complying with His commandments. Folks, this is so, so important. If you do not believe the Creator exists, you're an unbeliever. And most of what I'm going to talk about here is really irrelevant to you. You can do what you like. And that's not a license for you to go out and do wrong things. It's just a statement of fact that if you don't believe He exists, He doesn't actually give a hoot about you, to be quite honest. It's only other people, believers, who worry about unbelievers. You've rejected Him. You say He doesn't exist. He's not interested in you. I'm sorry. That's just the brutal truth. So the first of the Ten Commandments, Yah is one. Do not worship others. The first of the Ten Commandments is Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones apart from Him. So this is about you do not worship Jesus or Yeshua or the Messiah or Muhammad or the Emperor or the Queen or the President or whatever other person. Note that Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus, is a mighty one, also known as a God. He is not the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth, and therefore you should not worship him, and indeed it is great sin to worship him. There's much further discussion on the website. See the web page under commandments, Chesed, Chesed, love the Almighty, and under that, Yah is one. See also the web page, the essence of my message regarding Yeshua, Jesus, and also the web page, Yeshua. Folks, this is so important. There's so much wrong thinking about the Trinity, about Jesus is God, and Jesus is Christ, and Christ is God, and it's horrible confusion as a result of wrong translations, wrong thinking, wrong teaching, wrong interpretation of what's in the Bible. Yeshua, Jesus, had to be 100% human to do what he came to do. He was a man, a created being, like you or me, except that he had no father. So there was a bit of a miracle there, but not a big miracle. Sin to worship him, folks. Treat him as a brother. In the second commandment, do not worship idols. This includes not worshiping the Bible. Note that the Bible is not the Word of God. Not worshiping the Quran, etc. It includes not worshiping your wife or husband, not worshiping your car or your house or your business, and so forth. We're commanded to only worship the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. This also includes not worshiping the cross, not wearing crucifixes, not adorning buildings with crucifixes or crosses, etc. See the web pages. There's a web page commandments under that, Chesed, love the Almighty, under that, no idols, and also see the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Folks, I spoke at length about the Bible recently, but I just want to reiterate. The Bible is a reasonably accurate history book, period. About 2.5% of the Bible is inspired. The rest of it is just fairly accurate record keeping by people who were alive at the time. Read the Bible in order to understand about the way the Almighty related to highly anointed people at different times in history. We're talking about 4,500 years ago to about 2,000 years ago. And that's it. So read the Bible two or three times in two or three different translations, and then put it back on the bookshelf and let it gather dust. Worshipping it, calling it the Word of God, is just really off the mark. You're going to be in big trouble when you get to the day of your judgment. And the same goes to the wife, the husband, the car, or anything else that you may put above your relationship with Father. Then the third commandment, do not take the name of Yah in vain. The true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, or strictly speaking, his essential name is Yah, Y-A-H. Calling him the Lord or God or similar is taking his name in vain. www.yahoo.com is a blasphemous name that results in Yah's name being taken in vain. If you have a Yahoo email address, get rid of it or at least archive it and open something else like a Gmail account. Keep your Yahoo going for a while, get your incoming mails, copy the email addresses across to your new Gmail or whatever, and carry on your email there. There are numerous free email services that you can subscribe to. You do not need to have a Yahoo email. It's sin to have a Yahoo email. Then calling Yahushua Jesus is also taking Yah's name in vain. Yahushua means Yah is salvation. So if you pervert that into Jesus, which means blessed of Zeus, which is a pagan name, you're also taking Yah's name in vain. The Afrikaans word for yes, in other words, Yah, J-A, and the German Jawohl and similar also break this commandment. see the web page commandments under that Chesed, love the Almighty under that, name Yah not in vain. See also the essence of my message regarding names. To understand more about the name of Yah, see the webpage Yah 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used, and webpage Creator's name, Yah eternally self-existing. Folks, so important to know Father's true name and to use it and not to use other words that sound like it and not to call him other names. It's an insult. Then number four, keep the Sabbaths. This relates to keeping the true Sabbath. That is the last day of the week, that is Saturday, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Observing Sunday as a Sabbath and working on Saturday is breaking this commandment. Observing sunset Friday to sunset Sunday, Saturday, and working Saturday night is also breaking this commandment. Failing to observe the high Sabbaths of Pesach or Passover, Shavuot or Pentecost, Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the first day of the Feast of Sukkot, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last or great day of the Feast of Sukkot, in other words, the Feast of Tabernacles, also violates this commandment. See the webpage commandments under that Chesed, love the Almighty under that, keep Sabbaths. See the web page, the essence of my message regarding Sabbath observance. Folks, once you come to understand this, Father is asking you to give him one day out of seven to attend to him, to worship him, to engage with ministry, service, and to rest. It's not acceptable to engage in commerce or shopping or running your business or whatever on Saturday and on these specific high Sabbaths that I've just mentioned. Commandment number four, honor your parents. This means that you respect your parents and treat them with respect and nurture and care for them in their old age. In particular, this means that you do not deposit them in an old age home, frail care center, or similar, but you keep them in the bosom of your family and care for them in whatever way is required. You constantly show them love and respect. Note that if you curse your mother or your father, you will bring ultimately a death penalty on yourself. See the webpage, commandments under that, Chesed, love your neighbor under that, honor your parents. Folks, big trap that most people are falling into today. There's a period when you're a child and you learn. There's a period when you're an adult and you engage in business. There's a period when you're an elder in the community and you engage in governance. And there's an age, there's a period at which you are in declining years and you need your family to look after you. Shipping you out to retirement village or whatever you want to call it and visit them for an hour once a week is just not on. Don't be surprised if you're a believer and you're treating your parents or parent that way if things go wrong in your life. We'll talk next week about judgment in this life. I once cursed my mother, and I realized after I'd done it some months later, I was steadily dying. I was aging, my hair went gray, and I had to pull myself together, repent, go and ask for forgiveness, and clean it up. It's a much more dangerous thing than you think it is. Then no murder. This is particularly contentious at this moment, particularly in the United States, but elsewhere in the world too. Life begins in the sight of the Creator at the instant of fertilization. At that moment, a spirit is allocated and a human being comes into existence. So any contraceptive that prevents the embryo being implanted or which causes the embryo to be rejected by the womb is murder. The person who installed the so-called intrauterine device is complicit in the murder, just as is the person who designed it, the person who sold it, the person who assembled it, etc. The man is equally complicit with the woman. They're both guilty of murder. So if you've been having sex using an IUD, you need to get that IUD out, get on the pill, or do something else to prevent pregnancy that does not involve murdering a fertilized embryo. And then moving on from that, once the embryo has implanted in the womb, abortion is clear-cut murder. And as above, the people who legislated it, the people who deliver the service, including those in administration and support services, as well as those who actually perform the abortion and those who benefit from the exploitation of the remains of the aborted children, are all judged as violating this commandment, which carries a death penalty and torment in hell for believers. See the webpage, commandments under that chesed, love your neighbor, under that no murder. If you're not particularly spiritually inclined, and the above does not appear to impact you much, I suggest that you visit www.priestsforlife.org. That's priestsforlife.org/images/abortion-images/galleries.aspx, or search on Google for graphic pictures of aborted children and similar. The messages of shredded live human beings are truly shocking. If you think that abortion is okay, go and look at how they mutilate and ultimately mash up living human beings in a woman's uterus and say that that is acceptable in any shape or form. If you're a believer and you've had one of those, or you're using an IUD, you need to repent and you need to clean up and you need to seek forgiveness. Then no adultery. Adultery is sexual intercourse between males, either directly or by two men having intercourse with the same woman, whether concurrently or sequentially. So usual social behavior in most societies where women and men have sexual intercourse, terminate the relationship and move on to new partners, is adultery. Legal marriage where the woman has had a previous sexual partner is also adultery. Sex with a woman who gave her virginity to another man is adultery, unless there were legitimate grounds for divorce and the appropriate prayers have been prayed. Sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage, as is sexual intercourse with a widow or truly divorced woman. See the webpage, commandments, chesed, love your neighbor, no adultery. See also the essence of my message regarding separation of man and woman, regarding cutting ties in a valid manner, and also the essence of my message regarding the virgin's covenant, regarding the sanctity of virginity. Then commandment number 8, no stealing. Direct theft, any form of fraud, fraudulent or misleading advertising, sales misrepresentation. Pastors, priests, rabbis, imams, etc., who are teaching lies and pressing their followers to give to them on the pretext they're teaching truth, is also stealing. People who repent of stealing but do not make restitution or return what they've stolen. See also the webpage commandments under that chesed, love your neighbor, under that no stealing. Folks, I just want to come back to the pastors, priests, etc. piece. There is a big industry throughout the world of people who set themselves up as ministering on behalf of the Almighty, and encouraging their followers to give to them, be it tithes, be it offerings. Some of these places have ostentatious, luxurious buildings. People think that it's an honorable thing to have. Folks, you're not giving to Father, you're giving to the pastor or the priest or the rabbi or the denomination or the religion or whatever. And if you're telling people that if they give money to your church or whatever, they will be blessed and they will reap a 100-fold return or a 10-fold return or whatever, it's stealing and it's lying. There's a whole demonic, satanic thing around that whole prosperity message thing. Yes, there are times when Father will bless you, but at the end of the day, you have to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. Then commandment number 9, no false witness, no lying. This includes the false teachings by religious leaders, which applies to just about every religious leader on the planet, as I've just said. Lies by politicians, misrepresentation in sales and advertising, etc. It's important to realize that the end judgment for lying is also a death penalty. See the webpage commandments under that, Chesed, love your neighbor, under that, no false witness or lying. Folks, lying is endemic. Just about everybody lies. They make excuses for white lies and all sorts of things. Folks, if you lie, you will spend time in, and you don't repent of every lie, you will spend time in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death, or in hell, in other words, being tormented for your unrepented sin. It's not worth it. Tell the truth. It can be awkward telling the truth. It can be uncomfortable telling the truth. In certain circumstances, it can get you into trouble if you tell the truth. You need to tell the truth. There's a bit of a corollary to that. If your boss tells you to lie and you lie, then the judgment is on him or her, not on you. Which is not to say that you should just go out and lie wholesale. Then commandment number 10, no coveting or lusting, includes coveting or lusting after men or women or cars or houses or businesses. Coveting is an intense desire for something, burning with lust. See the commandments, Chesed, love your neighbor, no coveting or lusting. My next point, sin is breaking the commandments and it carries a death penalty. The fundamental definition of sin is breaking of one or more of the above commandments, and ultimately this results in a death penalty, which will result in premature death for a believer who fails to confess, repent, and turn around. I've just gone through the Ten Commandments plus the Great Commandment. If you are truly a committed believer, I submit for your consideration that it is not that difficult to keep most of those commandments once you understand the true meaning of the commandments. The most difficult one probably for most people is the one about lying, false witness. The others are relatively easy to sort out once and for all. Repent of what you've done wrong, make right with whoever you need to make right with, and move on. I went through a period where I discovered that I had, with all sorts of rationalizations and excuses, stolen things from the laboratory where I was working. Things like a pack of plastic bags and things, and bigger things too. And I had to take all of that stuff, pack it in my car, make an appointment to see somebody at the university, and go back and unpack my car with all the stuff that I'd stolen. So, you know, you need to comply with the commandments, and you need to clean up. If you're serious about serving Father, if you're an unbeliever, this is irrelevant to you, quite frankly. You can, as I said earlier, you can do what you want, but you don't want to do that. If you're an unbeliever and you're trying to be good and trying to keep the commandments, there's a contradiction in terms there. If you want to keep the commandments, then believe in the one who gave the commandments. If you don't believe in the one who gave the commandments, then just carry on, because there's really no consequence. You're just going to end up sitting on your corpse or in the grave or wherever for a long time. Not pleasant. Don't recommend it. Suggest you believe. But it's up to you. Then the price for unrepented sin is torment in hell. I've just said this. For believers after death, breaking the commandments and failing to repent and turn around before death will result in torment in hell after death and before entering heaven. See the webpage hell for some graphic pictures, paintings actually, or by a young Korean woman who was taken to hell and shown around and instructed to document what she saw. There are people tormented for smoking. There are people tormented for pornography. There are people tormented for all sorts of things. Folks, if you're a believer and you are not living a clean, good life above sin, you are in for a nasty shock when you die. I can't stress it enough. Hell is not for unbelievers. You don't go to hell if you don't believe. You're just left to wander. You can't even wander around your corpse. You have to stay with your corpse, or you get deposited in the crematorium oven, or maybe you get harvested by a satanic servant, an undertaker or a nurse or whatever, and used to be put onto other people to torment them and lead them astray. We're talking about believers here. If you're a believer and you die with unrepented sin, you will go to hell and be tormented and tortured until you've fully dealt with the consequences of your unrepented sin. And that may sound really harsh. Fact is, Yeshua, Jesus, died a terrible death so that you could live free of sin and you could get forgiveness for your sin. If you deny his sacrifice, if you deny what he did for you, you will be tortured and tormented when you die. It's just that simple. Then abortion, the commandment that is being overthrown most violently. The most flagrant violation of the commandments in many societies is abortion, both through the use of abortive contraceptives, such as intrauterine devices, abortive medication, and outright surgical abortion, coupled with legislation that permits this form of murder and effectively encourages it. The whole debate about abortion in the United States is shocking. And it's the more shocking by the limited number of people who are really taking a stand and by the number of people who are fighting against the restrictions. Folks, this thing about when there's a heartbeat is nonsense. It becomes the embryo, the ovum with fertilized by the sperm becomes a living human being at the instant of fertilization. Anything that destroys that being from that moment on is a murder and will carry the death penalty and torment in hell. Beyond that, many people in the abortion industry, and it is an industry, are Satan servants. They take the blood and the human flesh of these mashed up fetuses and they eat it, they drink it, because it gives them satanic power, and they sell it on to other Satanists and witches and warlocks. Abortion is one of the most evil things on the planet today. It's the one thing that as an unbeliever you should have just as much aversion to as a believer. And if you are supporting abortion, if you are fighting against legislation to block abortion, you are complicit in that sin. You will be judged if you're a believer. If you are a believer and you're working in an abortion clinic, get out now. If you're working in a hospital that performs abortions, get into another department or get out of it. It's that serious. in the sin of those who legislate violation of the commandments. Those people who legislate violation of the commandments, and I'm picking on the commandment about not committing murder. Those people who legislate that legislation will be judged for all the murders that are committed on the basis of their legislation. So if you're a member of parliament or the House of Representatives or the Senate or whatever, depending on what country you're in, and a resolution comes up to legalize abortion and you vote for that and you're a believer, when you die, you will be judged for all the abortions committed, all the murders committed on the basis of that legislation that you voted for. The same applies to any other legislation that, like legislation to ban the death penalty. The Almighty said, if the life of man is shed by man, then by the man, the hand of man shall his life be shed. So if, I didn't get that quite right. If somebody kills somebody, the Almighty says that they should be put to death, and that is to prevent them killing further people. And it's to introduce the death penalty for their sin. If you legislate against the death penalty, or if you vote for somebody against the death penalty, you are complicit. You will be judged accordingly. I can't stress this enough. If you are in a position of authority and you do things that legalize the violation of any one of the commandments, you have got a serious problem when you die, if you're a believer. Then legislating against the death penalty for murder. Note that Genesis 9:6 states, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of man, of Yah, made he man." Legislating against the death penalty for murder or opposing the death penalty for murder breaks this commandment and will also be associated with the death penalty and torment in hell. Taking the covenant meal while knowingly violating a commandment. The covenant meal is also known as communion or the Eucharist. It is a rehearsal of the terms of Yeshua's covenant, in terms of which, by repenting of sin, a believer can correct for sins they've committed. Hebrews 6:6 states, "If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of Yah afresh, and put him to an open shame." In other words, if a person takes the covenant meal while knowing and actively breaking one or more of the commandments, they will ultimately be rejected from entering heaven and will face torment in hell. This is particularly relevant to legislators, politicians, and others who actively promote abortion or abolition of the death penalty for murder. And this applies with respect to the situation where there are certain church leaders in the United States who are refusing to give communion to the president and other legislators who are endorsing abortion legislation. They are completely correct. They will be judged if they give communion to those people who they know are violating that commandment. So administering the covenant meal to one who is knowingly and actively violating a covenant. So I've just said this, but let's go over it again. An extension of that is if a pastor, priest, or other person who administers the covenant meal, communion, Holy Eucharist, administers it to someone while knowing that the person concerned is violating one or more of the commandments, then the blood of that person will be on the hands of the person ministering the sacrament, and they will also face torment in hell and may ultimately be rejected from entering heaven. Then the mark of the beast. There's a lot of hysteria and hype about microchips being the mark of the beast. This is false. The mark of the beast is in the right hand and in the forehead. So it is in our thoughts and in what we write in covenant, what we shake hands on. The mark has to be available to every single human being on the planet simultaneously, and it has to be a spiritual mark, the absence of which prevents a human being from buying or selling. The Almighty Creator says that the mark of the beast is violating one or more of the Ten Commandments, which applies to just about every human being on the planet today. I'm running out of time. There's more on the Mark of the Beast on the website. Go into the Google search and look for Mark of the Beast. Then, as I said earlier, to live above sin, you need to keep the commandments. I would like to suggest for your consideration that it is not that difficult to keep the above commandments, and that is what is meant by living above sin. I encourage you to seek to do this, assuming your relationship with the Almighty Creator is important to you. Note that it is written in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." If you truly love the Almighty Creator, then I challenge you to actively start keeping all the above commandments, noting that getting free of lies is a time-consuming process, certainly if you've done quite a lot of lying or quite a lot of stealing or whatever in your time. Then taking the covenant meal and repentance. If in listening to the above, you've realized that you've broken one or more of the above commandments, the resolution of the situation is in fact quite straightforward. At the first possible opportunity, obtain some red grape juice or red wine, preferably not carbonated grape juice. Also obtain some bread, preferably unleavened. Some shops sell Jewish matzah, so you may be able to order it on Amazon, or a plain wheat biscuit, or failing that, ordinary leavened bread. There's more on this on the website, but basically you take the bread, you take the grape juice or the wine, and taking the wine, you say, "Father, I call that on the night that he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread and broke it, gave it to those who followed him and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you shall eat it in remembrance of me.' Then take the cup, 'Father, I call that on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup and gave it to those who followed him and said, "Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me for forgiveness of sin.'" That's it. And just say, "Father, I'm sorry. I've done this wrong. I've done that wrong. I repent. I ask you to forgive me." Then don't do it again. That's the key. Finally, the words of Yah and the sword of the Spirit. Note that the Ten Commandments are referred to in Hebrew as the Ten Words. So in other words, when one refers to the word of Yah, the word of God, one is actually referring to the Ten Commandments, not the Bible. Note also that where reference is made to the sword of the Spirit, this in actual fact relates to the Ten Commandments. So I'd like to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so, so, so important. The only reason you're here is to be a friend of the Almighty. That is why he went to all the time and the trouble to create the universe, to create our solar system, to create our planet, to create the atmosphere and everything that goes with it, to create the plants and the animals, and finally to create us human beings. Because he was lonely, and he wanted people to talk to and do things with him. That is the only reason you exist. And if you're not doing that, you are seriously missing the mark, and you are going to be bitterly disappointed when you die. He wants you to be his friend. And if you're his friend in this life, he will reward you with a high throne in heaven for eternity, great authority, great power, great glory. It's a fabulous, fabulous way to spend eternity. And very few people are doing it. I encourage you to go for it. So to wrap up, some key documents and a video on the website, compendium of important articles, video Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components and Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, and there's also to Jews, Muslims, etc., available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries1word.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page and subpages, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about four or five different podcast sites that have that. It's also on YouTube now and LinkedIn as well. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries1word.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's about 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages, huge amount of information printed out. It's about 10,000 A4 pages. The Google searches and the article search are in the right-hand sidebar. Scroll down a little bit. Very powerful Google search functionality. If there's an answer to your question on the website, you'll probably find it with the Google search. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I've just expounded the reality that Father wants you to become his friend. It's so important to understand. He is not concerned about your religion. He's not concerned about your age. He's not concerned about your level of wealth or lack of wealth, your level of education or lack of education. He doesn't care whether you're black or white or anything in between. He doesn't care whether you're blonde and blue-eyed or whether you've got black hair and brown eyes or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. It's that easy. He will meet you wherever you are. Just get on your knees and say, Father, Yah, James Robertson says that I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. And then drop me a line and I'll help you to get there. Or just get on the website. There's a huge amount of information there. If you just start at the top of the website and work down the web pages, you will learn most of what you need to know in order to do this. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I come to